2026. If you were to Google 2026, you know that there's a lot of different meanings in the number 2026. In the number 26, there are prophetic messages that have been spoken, warfare, God's glory, a number of different things. For us in here in Zoe in January 2026, we are going to talk about warfare. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's all about warfare. 2026, a year of transition, breakthrough, spiritual empowerment. 2026, a year of transition, breakthrough, spiritual empowerment. 2026, moving Christians from past trials into a greater divine authority, into a greater inheritance that God has for us. 2026, moving more into God's purpose, embracing spiritual sight that God has for us. 2026, a year for God's church, God's bride to rise up and to fulfill God's calling. 2026, a year for warfare. It's the call for the church to stop tolerating spiritual intimidation, confront evil with boldness and God's authority. 2026, a shift from surviving, from crawling, from barely getting by, to occupying, governing, receiving the restored and given inheritance that God has for us every single day. 2026, a season of spiritual clarity, spiritual understanding. What is the world saying about 2026? Well, it's a year for change, action, advancement in tech and medicine. It's a change in fashion. It's a time to be optimistic and concerned. 2026, the world is saying it's a time to be more courageous. It's a time to break being lazy. You know, in 2026, America here celebrates 250 years. It's the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. 2026, it's 100 years since the road route, Route 66, was formed. 2026, this year will be a great year. Not for everybody, because every day is a choice. And the choice is, what will you make it? What will you make it? We know what we made 2025. We can't cry over spilled milk. Can't cry over past mistakes, regrets, things we said, things we should have said. But what we can do is today, 2026, make it, decide to make it what it needs to be. So January, in Zoe IE, warfare. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against strategies of the devil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. After the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. Belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. Shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit all times, every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So, question as we open with our text. Same opening text we had last week, same opening text we have today. What does spiritual warfare look like? What does spiritual warfare look like? What is war? Why do we go to war? For many, it's to secure resources, to defend territory, to spread ideology, seek revenge, defend our country, power, economic interests, religious, political beliefs, for security, protecting the borders, preventing attacks, life, I mean, let us know, in itself could be very complex. Life in itself filled with many struggles some days. Life in itself is a fight. And how many of us this morning understand the fight we are in spiritually? There's so many things, I think, in the Bible that we think about, that we know we should think about. I think there's many things in the day that we think about, that we know we should think about. Where does spiritual warfare on that list of daily tasks? Spiritual warfare, for many, it's at the bottom. It's at the bottom of the list. It's at the bottom. We can't even like imagine or picture. We've seen so many war movies that we're so numb to watching death. We played so many video games that looks real, and we've got so many dubs where we're killing people and blowing their heads off. We're numb to seeing people die. We can't picture the spiritual aspect of angels and demons. We've seen stuff that's made up. We've seen artists who've done a great job. But it's really hard to think and talk about sometimes the things that are unseen because we can't see it. So spiritual warfare, where is it in our priority? Where is it? Is it another thing that God wants me to do? I got to clothe myself with the armor every day. I got to put on something else. For some of us, we rush out every day and it's just enough to get dressed, coffee, and out the door. To think about reading the Bible, to think about spiritually putting on God's armor. It's just another thing, just another box that I'm going to have to check. It's just something that I'm going to try and focus on. You know, Americans today, we have a focus problem. Many are distracted, the stress, anxiety, difficult time to stay on task. Many Americans today, restless, physically, mentally, emotionally, antsy inside. Many Americans today are careless, making more mistakes than ever. Little tiny errors in our everyday routine. Why? Sometimes in life, I think we try so hard, many of us, when we see something new, we get excited. When we hear something, when we learn something new, we get excited. When we sometimes go to a church service or we hear something on a podcast and for a moment we can get so super excited. But to actually follow through with the word that God gives us at times. Sometimes to take the Bible, to hear the reading of the Bible, to know there's something stirring inside of me. I hear it, but I leave and I forget about it. Spiritual warfare, how many of us know the things, and maybe this morning spiritual warfare sounds like a big word. You can Google it, you can watch sermons on it, you can see people paint big pictures, making movies of spiritual warfare. But I wonder, spiritual warfare this morning, just like everything else in life and in church, maybe sometimes we're missing the point. Has there any been anywhere in life where you miss the point, you miss the idea? You miss the big idea. You miss the light bulb turning on. And I wonder this morning in spiritual warfare, as we go through some of these things listed, am I anywhere missing the point? Most of us in here this morning, we have a place where we can receive mail. Not that we do every day. In the old days, to receive mail was so cool. You know, if you had a pen pal, if you had, you know, none of us thought it was cool to receive bills, but yes, we do receive bills at our address. We receive now texts, right, and emails that you have to check on your electrical device. But your address where you live, or your P.O. box, it's where you receive mail. Spiritual warfare, one of the things that it is defining your spiritual address. Spiritual warfare will define and it will outline and it will be where your spiritual address will be and where it ends up. This Thursday, we know that my dad, we celebrate a celebration of life for his service. And for every one of us in here, there will be that day where people will have a celebration of life service. It's that day, everything that you do. If you were in a race, we know that to start the race, very important how you start it. But at the end of the race, it's the end of the race at what? It's the end of the race that counts. It's the end of the race. It's where you finish. It counts. And if the ending is so important, what determines how you end is how you live in the middle. How you live in the middle. Spiritual warfare is how we're living in the middle that's going to put us at the end where we need to be. Am I fighting? Am I living? Am I clothing, breathing the things of God? This fight, this battle, this war, to decide what address I have when I pass on from this life to the next. The armor of God, using words to describe identity, trust, and faith, protection, advancement, taking the land, expanding God's kingdom. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. So this morning we're going to talk about the belt of truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Which I'm going to use this morning is my little belt of truth. Just a little belt to symbolize that. The belt of truth. The belt of truth, it's a foundational piece that holds the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth is a foundational piece that holds in Roman armor. The belt holds the breastplate and the sword securely in place. And if we were in war this morning and if we had on the Roman armor, we would want the breastplate to stay firmly in place. We would want our sword, we wouldn't want to drop it on the ground when we're running, when we're walking. We want it to be exactly where it needs to be. The belt of truth is a foundational piece of life. And if we were to ask ourselves, belts, when it comes to belt, most of us pick out a belt. Well, one, does it fit? Does it work? Other people pick out belts maybe based on color. Does it have any style? Does it fit my fashion? Does it fit my clothes? But if you were to live your life with a belt based on style and fashion, not consumed with what it is, what is the belt? It's there in design. Its main purpose is to what? Hold things together. Holding things together. The belt of truth holds things together. The foundation, stability, protection from deception. The belt of truth, it shields against deception, the lies of the enemy. The belt of truth, it puts us on the right path. The belt of truth, it gets us in the right direction. The belt of truth, the truth. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Truth, the foundation. Truth is a foundation for life, freedom, and eternity. Truth, foundation, life, freedom, eternity. Jesus not only taught the truth, Jesus lived the truth. Jesus was the truth. Jesus not only taught the truth, was the truth, lived the truth, he was truth itself. John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth, holding things together. Truth, being its main purpose and who it is. Truth, what? Leading to freedom. The importance of reading God's word, filling ourselves with truth, to read it, to see it, to input, to download, to understand. What does that do? It leads everything, what? To freedom. Everything in the scripture, everything that Jesus is, freedom now and freedom later. Everything, the more you understand the truth, the more you know the truth, the more you hear the truth, the more you see the truth, the more you will understand the truth, which will bring you to freedom. mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, every part and aspect of life. John 16:13, the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard, and he will tell you about the future. We sang a song this morning, Another in the Fire. It's a song that records from a story in the Old Testament about some men who they weren't going to bow down and worship some big old statue. And the king said, if you don't worship my big old statue, we're going to throw you in the fire. And how did they respond? They said, listen, O king, we worship God, and we don't worship any statues. Our God can save us. Our God will save us from your fire. But even if he doesn't, I'm willing to die for how I believe in God. The king gets furious. He heats the furnace 7 times hotter, just like we wish it was in here this morning. Throws them in. And what happens? There was another in the fire. Who was the another in the fire? Some say angels, some say Jesus. Jesus said, this Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit this morning, God's Holy Spirit is here every single day to lead and guide us into truth, to be with us in the fire, to help us get through the fire, to help us get through the waters. The Spirit, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will get us through every situation we need to get through today. It's the Holy Spirit. We know then Acts 1:8, it's the Holy Spirit that brings empowerment, that brings strength, that brings courage, that brings the God strength and might. It's the Holy Spirit's voice that can lead us, that can provide, that can heal, that can direct. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that will lead you into all truth. That will lead you into all truth. This morning, we're all guided by someone and something. And some of us in here, we're not guided by someone and something. Some of us in here, we're guided by someone's, and we're guided by some things, multiple things in life. Sometimes there's people from 30 years ago. We still allow them to have a voice in our head today. There's things that are in our life today that we allow things to have a voice in our head and our heart and our mind and our soul. Some of us, we allow things and people, past and present, to have a voice where they shouldn't. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. God's Spirit, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Church of God, the Bride of Christ, being led into truth. The belt of truth that holds all things together. Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is the visible image when he came to this earth of the invisible God. What does God look like? What does God sound like? What would God wear? What would God do? Who would God hang out? We know. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says in Colossians, Jesus Christ is the visible image of God himself. What would God do if he came? We know what he did. We know what he'd be. We know who he'd hang out with. Because we've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The point in Colossians, Paul says, everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus, and it says that Jesus holds all things together. Jesus holding all things together. I'm sure that most of us in here this morning have heard the word and term laminin. Turn to your neighbor and say, laminin. It's just fun to say, laminin. This is a glycoprotein. A glycoprotein. In the shape of a cross. Interesting. You know, it's a glue. It's a structural scaffolding for basement membranes, holding tissues and organs together. It connects cells to the extracellular matrix and other components. Laminin for cell adhesion, growth for tissue integrity and protection. What's crazy, some of the things that's described about laminin, the exact thing that's described in the armor of God in spiritual warfare. What is the very foundation of spiritual warfare? It's the belt of truth that holds all things together. What is truth? We know it's Jesus. What is our body consumed with? Crosses from all throughout our body. What's those crosses doing? They're holding us together. God perfectly designed our bodies. Crazy. God designed our bodies. Why? To speak and to reflect the truth. God know that every person in humanity at some point could turn away and maybe did turn away from him. But if they would just look in the body, they would just see the truth and how we were made and how we were put together, it would lead us to where? The cross of Jesus Christ. God coming in human form. God coming to save us. God coming to deliver us. God coming to heal these bodies. Who is truth? It's Jesus. Who holds us all together? Jesus. Spiritual warfare. Many have made it out. There have been books upon books upon books. There are sermons upon sermons upon sermons. There are pictures upon pictures upon pictures. There are fancy words that we've made up. And honestly, this morning, I think it comes down to one simple thing. Do you pick out your belt for show or fashion? Or do you put on your belt to do what it was made to do, and that is to be and hold all things together? See, in Christian life, in the church, in life itself, it's one or the other. We're living life to be a show. We're living life as a fashion show. We're living life for everyone to see what we have and what we do. Or we found our purpose because we found the truth. It's the belt of truth. It's the belt of truth. It's the belt of truth. It's purpose. Every single one of us in here this morning, leading us to Jesus Christ. And the truth, this truth, it's so good. The truth of Jesus is so good. Because we know that within us, every single human body has the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ. Within every human being, we have the story. We have the good news. Every single heart, mind, and soul in this world, we know we're made for more. We're made for greater things. And it's not just in what we can accomplish, but there's something inside every human being wanting, looking, searching. And it all points to this, the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ. Don't take spiritual warfare, blow it up, make fancy words. Spiritual warfare is simple. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like Paul says, what did he say? He said in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But you, Timothy, you're a man of God. Run from evil. Pursue righteousness, a godly life, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness." And here it is, spiritual warfare. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tight to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared before so many witnesses. Spiritual warfare. Am I fighting the good fight to clothe myself, to put on the very thing, the very essence, which holds me together? How many of us have lived a day ever where, like, that didn't go so well? that did not go as planned. This day, this week, this moment did not turn out to be all that I hoped it to. Every life, every job, every church, every situation we put ourselves, every family, if it's not being held together by one simple thing, if we're not being held together by one simple thing, it's not going to go as planned. It's simply Jesus. But it's really not simple at all, because we know that in Jesus there's power. We know that in Jesus there's healing. We know that in Jesus there's deliverance. We know that in Jesus it's sacrifice and death and resurrection. In Jesus Christ, it's not a show. He didn't live for a show. Jesus knew, it's not how I start the race, but it's how I finish the race. Apostle Paul knew, it's not how I start the race, it's how I finish the race. Everywhere, in everything that we do, right now, where we are in the middle, what we are living in the middle, what I'm saying, what we do, leads us to how we finish. My video there, showing a football field, how many of us know that in a football game, there's a winner and there's a loser? There's time, there's seconds, there's pushing, sometimes there's shoving, there's throwing, there's catching, and there's carrying. All these things that we do every single day. We are bound by time, but time one day will end, and where we finish, where you finish, where I finish, it's all determined by one thing. What truth have I put on today? And if I haven't put on Jesus, then I'm not putting on the very thing that I need to every single day. 1 Timothy 6:11, one more time. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tight to what God has called us. So in 2026, what is it? Where am I? I need to fight the good fight. I need to stand up for the cross. I need to stand up for laminin. I need to stand up for the very thing that I'm made of, the cell adhesion molecule that holds me together. It's a picture and symbol of the cross of Jesus Christ. Every single day, why has God put me on the earth? To be the symbol, just like the very thing that I'm made of, the very thing that He has made in me. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. 2026, I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to hold tight to eternal life. Romans 13:14. Clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus. Clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge yourself. Last verse, Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature, Jesus. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Jesus. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Jesus is all that matters. He lives in all of us. He lives in all of us. No one can ignore that. Since God chose us to be holy people that He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Because remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ's rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you're called to live in peace. What is spiritual warfare? Many of us will see, you know, in a football game, there's a winner and a loser. And many who will win will be determined by how they practice, what they went over during the week and prepared themselves. What is spiritual warfare? It is preparing myself every single day to go out and to fight the good fight. There's two things. Every single day I have a choice to put on whatever I want. The most important thing is to make sure I put on Jesus. Second most important thing is, am I being Jesus that people need to see and hear everywhere I go and everything I do? We all have bad moments. We all have bad days. We all say things we shouldn't. We all make mistakes. Let's get past that point. The goal should be two things. Who am I clothing myself with every day spiritually? And am I preparing myself? Is my spiritual address stamped and set in place? Because every day I fight the good fight. And secondly, am I being the Jesus that you need to see? Am I being the Jesus that you need to hear? Everywhere we go, there's 7 days in a week, right? How many hours during the week? How many days? How many hours and how many seconds? And how many people do we come across in 1 week? Am I being the example? Am I being the Jesus? He's in me, and am I being like him? Jesus is the only thing that changes the world, has changed the world, and it's Jesus that we need to be in 2026. Clothe yourself this morning with truth. Clothe yourself with the belt of truth, which will hold every single thing. What is the belt of truth? It's Jesus. Clothe yourself with Jesus and go and be Jesus, that the world is desperate to see and hear this morning. There's power in his name. There's power in the life of Jesus. There's healing. There's forgiveness. There's sacrifice. There's servanthood. There's giving. There's so many things that are in Jesus. Let's be who he's made us to be. He's made us to be him. Let's go and be Jesus this week. Let's pray.